We're holding here in Gan Eden Gehenim, hopefully in Gan Eden. So we saw a little bit back in Eden, the Mokum Amnuch is Nikur Gan Eden, and we spoke last week about the concept of Menucha and so on. I want, I don't know if you have the Sfarim here, in page Tzadik Aleph, where he brings the Likutim from Adi B'morim, I wanted to see two shtiklach of the Likutim. If you have the Sefer, it's good, okay. Second shtickle. And I think this is a very good hashlama to the first part of Gan Eden. One of the things that are problematic, I guess it's very hard to understand. The Ramban, Lamosh, other Rishonim say Gan Eden is in this world, and yet it's very hard to imagine the Shamas live in this world. I mean, there's just no. On the one hand, Gan Eden is described to us in ways that are not physical, and yet he insists that it's in this world.
It sounds like it's in this world.
What?
The way it's described.
Yeah, I mean, it's very. I mean, we don't learn psukim. We're not moitzi psukim from pshutim, and Ramban says, you know, and Ramban's very clear about it. So how do we put it together? So
the assumption is that Gan Eden and the Psukim is the same Gan Eden that we're referring to here.
Or somebody should have said something about it. Olam Haba is a different world.
But it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava as human.
Okay, yes, correct. Correct. They were human beings, physically human beings. They reside in that Gan Eden. So how could that Gan Eden be this? That's the problem. We can't talk about Gan Eden unless to say that the other Gan Eden is a world that is just named after Gan Eden is also hard. There's no remiss to that. Doesn't say it. So he says over here a nekuda, two nekudas that are very, very Gan Eden hu pnimis olam hazeh v'sham huva adam arishon barishayna elashlei omad boy u'misham bo ashpol olam hazeh k'nesham amachayis aguf. Let's talk a little bit about this point over here. Let's take a mashal for this in something else. Imagine a person who is like a primitive person, never saw anything, and he comes to the city and he sees these big buildings, and he's very struck by all the buildings and so on. And then someone takes him to an architect's house and he sees the plans, and the person tells him, whatever you see there, this is it. And for the architect who lives in it, this is it, and it is and it isn't. It's a more abstract version, but it's the beginning. It's a shoresh in a sense for what you see physically built up. Let's take neshama and a person. Nothing about the person that we know, physical speaking, physical doing things. These are all physical activities, but our sense is this all expression of neshama. We don't know what a neshama is. We've never seen neshamas as such, but the tzura of the person, in some way, we imagine he's got a good neshama. He's got a deep neshama. There's something there about the expression of the person that we have some vague sense of the tzura pnimis of the person. So you have, we have a physical tzura which we can really, really put our hands on. We have some sort of pneumistic tzura that's not physical, but yet it's shayach. You know, it's the sum total of the person we know. Mitzad, his niceness, his care, his depth, his control. All of the tchunis that we mesiach on ruchni, we would project and say this is the pneumistic of the person. So we sort of are stuck between a physical thing that we're very comfortable, we put our hands on it, to a sense of something pneumistic this is manifestations of. So in the world here also, as opposed to a world beyond, whose mitzias is measured in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias. Our Gan Eden is something that it's a panemistic version of our world. So just like the neshama is to the body, we understand there's a world of ruchnius and a particular neshama. It's not a particular neshama, just ruchnius, but a particular neshama is a very particular entity that can be expressed in a particular person. So Gan Eden to the world, he says, is similar to what the neshama is to the guf, is similar to an idea of having like a diagram and a reality, or a formula and a reality. So it is and it isn't. It is already Gashmi in the sense that it's specific and it can be described in a certain specific way. There's something called the Eitzagan, and there's something called Eitzadas Tovara, there's something called Eitzachayim, and there is Ruach Hayoyim. There are physical correlations to it, things that could not have been before, but they are not at the same daga we are. The Rabban says something similar in another place where he speaks about Los Adlovo, Trias and Mesa, when we come back with Kufis. He asks, you know, the Rabban says we're going to come back as Neshamas, and that's the Olam Haba. The Rabban says it's no, Trias and Mesa is Olam Haba, and it means we come back very, very physical beings. So, yes, how you talking? So he says something along the lines that our food will be much finer, much more ruchnius than it is today. So it means a plane of living, a cross section of life that is similar to us in the sense things are more specific. There's something called a yad, there's something called a regel, there's something called a chil and shtia, and so on. And yet they are of a very different type, a very different darga in terms of ruchnius than the world here. So Gan Eden correlates to this world, and therefore it's already specific, and it's a makom, it's an entity, but its level of physicality, this world, is as the neshama is to the guf. My neshama is much more ruchnius than my guf, but it's already something, it's cut to fit a certain guf. The neshama is very different than general ruchnius because it's cut in a very specific way, and it has the ability to express itself through a specific guf. That's the type of ruchnius that it is. And Eretz Yisrael, he says, so we yoinik from it. So just like our own personal ruchnius, we yoinik from the neshama. And our guf is a reflection of the neshama, or lack thereof. So too, that's the relationship of Gan Eden and Olam Haba. It's the same thing in the next piece in Gimel, where he says Gan Eden nivra koydem Olam Haza. V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu maskir netiosa achabrias Adam. So on the one hand, Chazal tells Gan Eden is created before the world, and yet in the Torah, Gan Eden is mentioned afterwards. Why? Ki betchilo yakol b'soid achana v'ata nase b'foil. So he says so it goes like this. You have Gan Eden is first, but Kolzman Adam is not there. Gan Eden has no meaning. It's just like all the plans that the architects have in their place don't really mean anything until there are no buildings built. The diagrams on paper, so you have sort of a paradox that very, very well expresses the same paradox of Gashmis. If architects would sit around their office drawing pictures of buildings all day that nobody has any hope of building, they'd be doing kindergarten stuff. They wouldn't be doing architecture. They'd be playing. There wouldn't be anything there. So their drawings are meaningful in the context of fleshing it out, but it comes before the building comes. But they become drawings of a building after the building is built. So if you talk mitzad the pnimius inyanim, Gan Eden comes before the world, like Hazal says, Kadma, Alpayim Shana, whatever. But if you're talking about when did it receive a meaning, when you have a world Gan Eden is now an important entity. It's the entity that, on the one hand, the world is yearning from, on the other hand, the world wants to be mistamed to and become like. Those are two points, and it fits in well with what we spoke last time about Menucha. The world finds its resting place, its final, what's the right word for it? Its stability, it's come to its tachlis when it resembles Gan Eden. When people and when everyone has come to Gan Eden, so that's why Gan Eden is a mokum menucha specifically for people, because it's this is what the world was supposed to look like. This is the way things are supposed to be. Okay, so we have that was Gan Eden last time. Now Gehenim, a Gehenim who mokum la neshames haruyas la oynesh. ושם מגיע להם צער ומחויבים כפי מה ששייך בלפי עניינם. So Gehenim is a mokum tsar and machoiv. ויש מדרגס שוינה של צער כמו שיש מדרגס שוינה של תיינוק. ובצער הוא יישא חויתם הסבוינם. So let's talk about this topic because it's something that is what's right word for it? On a personal level, it seems crude to us. We have a natural inclination that if somebody hit me, I want to hit him back. If somebody does something bad, it gets on my nerves, I want to hit him or do whatever it is. For us, einshim are either a way to keep people from doing something. So if you don't want the kids to act up in class, you make some einish for the person that acts up. And you give it. That keeps the whole class good. Or on a particular person, if you want the person, if he gets punished once for it, he'll think twice about doing it. So it's a motivational thing, and that's all it is. But we don't have any other forms of punishment, really. The tsar and machoiv is the following. The pnimius of a person, when you talk about the spheres, the highest sphere is called Keser, and the pnimius of that sphere is this Tainug and this Rotzen. The outer is the chitzonius of that. Tainug is the core of a person's essence. In other words, a person's Rotzen is focused on his Tainug. So whatever's me'anig me is my core. And my desires and cravings and ritzoinus are all focused towards getting tainuk, oinik. That's everybody. That's every human being and so on. And so Zeshoam, when he starts his setting up chayves adam by lomoy, is lisanik al Hashem. You know, our focus is to be misanik, because that is a person's focus. The core of a person is focused towards Tainam. That's the Metzias Hadam. Now, I guess he disagrees with something I said, or that was the...
No,
I understand. I thought he felt very put off by the idea that Tainam is what motivates a person, and maybe they have higher things. Okay, so a person's core motivation is Tainuk. That's his Metzias. I therefore am appropriately define a person by what it is that he's misaneg on. If a person is misaneg on art, he's an artistic person. If a person is misaneg on sports, he's an athletic person. And so on. The person's, whatever he's misaneg on, whatever gives him the deepest nekud of tainug is the core of the person. That's his metzias. Now, let's go through this. This is a very fascinating cheshbon. Tainug is the pnimius adam, and whatever person's misanigon is what he's going to put all of his energies towards. Davar milsa pshitasa, and everything else will just be echetimtsa. The core of a person, the core of a person's tainug, produces both his motivation and the definition of a person. A person who's a glutton is not a person who sits and eats a lot. It's a person who is misaneg from his food a lot, whose whole life, whose whole mohus is in the food. That's a glutton for us. Now, what is interesting is we can shift that in different ways. A child can be born with a yearning for very simple pleasures, and I can develop other pleasures. That's one thing I can do. I can develop a pleasure for ruchnius, which means bring out in a latent way a person has a tainug could have tanugim for sitting and learning. I am sure everybody remembers a tkuf in his life when learning was not in any way enjoyable. It wasn't a tainug, and then it becomes a tainug, as a person gets into it and so on, and he develops himself. So one oifen is to be, I can develop tanugis by hearing about how wonderful it is, by doing it at the left time, tamuru, and so on. I can also get rid of tanugis by associating it with pain. So they want to cure people of addictions. One of the ifanim of curing a person used to be to associate with pain. They show him a picture of a bottle of wine and they zap him with electric current. And every time he sees wine, it zaps him. So he stops liking wine because his mind instead sees pain whenever he. So that weans a person off tanugis, off a specific tainug. In modern psychology, we stay away from zapping people too much. It can get you into trouble, into lawsuits and stuff like that. So you don't want to zap people. But when people, usually people get out of their addictions when bor mayim ad nofesh, when they've suffered such disasters and so much pain and so much that they're willing to break free because they identify the pain with whatever it is that caused it. So I can say the following. A person identifies with the tainug. A person is identified with the tainug that's his core. And if he has a few tainugas, each one is somewhat his personality. Pain is the natural way of getting rid of it. And there's a certain darg over here of kibli osei kach boltosei. If X gives me 100 degrees of tainug, however we'll measure tainug, there's no, on 100 neurons fire, you will need an equal amount of pain associated with it until you just lose your cheshek fit, until you don't have your body does no longer gets pleasure from it, and b'meila it stops being you. So if we're to ask ourselves in the big picture, the pagam of avera in our mohus is whatever hana we had from the avera. Nobody does avera lishma, and if you do avera lishma, that whatever it means, Chazal called it. Chazal called it a mitzvah. That's if you do the shem shemayim. But if you do it, if you do an avera, there's something in it for you, different than tias hanefesh. It could be an atzlus, a person just doesn't want to go and bother to buy kosher stuff, so it's not even so much attracted. It could be he likes the flavor of it. It could be he doesn't like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to get rid of the Musa HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life and doesn't want someone to boss over him, and that's what he's doing. Whatever it is, there's something in it for the person. In Arayas, which is the biggest Tainuk, if a person is Mishamesh Beiv Mace, he's Potter. There's no such thing. Mishamesh Beiv Mace is not Arayas. If you eat something that has no taste, it's anywhere like Shalik Dach Achilosai, Shalik Dach Hanosai, and there's no Hanoah from it, and so on. And whatever person does, a person wears Shatness, he wears it because it looks nice, because it dresses nice, because it's inexpensive. Whatever it is, person has some motivation. The pagam left in the neshama is that nekuda, that knach, It says there's a lashon in Chazal about a person who is mizaneh. It says that's melafefosik ikelav. It holds on to him like a dog. In other words, the hanah that the person had in the znus becomes a core piece of his nefesh, and that's the pgam in his nefesh. The way out of it is whenever there's a tsar that's equivalent to whatever it is that the hanah was, weeds that out. So it's not just, in other words, it actually is misakin the nekuda that of problem the person, which is the tainuk. And that's what he says over here. There are different madregas of tsar, k'moy sheyesh madregas shayna shel tainuk. Like there are different madregas of tainuk, so the different madregas of tsar. Over tsarahu yisu achoytem esavaynam. It's that tsar that carries away the averis, because be'etzem, that's what happens. It goes into the panemius of it. I want to compare it to something else. When a person does tshuva and he's mischaret ala ova, the yogoin of the tshuva, Shai Tshuva speaks about, I can have mental anguish about something I did. And if we're fortunate enough and we're bala nefesh enough, we can have a mental anguish that is equivalent to whatever pleasure I had, and that becomes the tsar that takes it out. It's something which, you know, that is the pnimius of tshuva. When a person does tshuva, is mischaret ala ava, mischaret is a pa'ula of tsar, and that's why if you mischaret in a duma, if you mischaret for ulterior motive, like Lamashal, you recognize there's going to be a Gehenim and there's going to be Tsar and a person got punished for it and so on. So it's also good. So if you associate let's go back to Lamashal. If a person has a particular Erva that he was enthralled with, and to get out of it he gets zapped with electricity, so okay, it'll be Maneet. But in a certain sense, it's like a layer. I have my tainug of this avera, and I have a pain that blocks it. But imagine that you become disenchanted with the person you're mezana with. The person you're mezana becomes mos to you, becomes sonui. So that certainly is an akira of whatever kam and so on. And that's why if a person does tshuva mi'ava, where what the person is, it's because the person be'etzem starts resenting chait that it becomes a tikkun be'emes. So yisurim tshuva is not averting tsar, but it's substituting with a much better tsar, because whatever tsar gehenim is, it's chitzoni compared to tshuva. Tshuva means the etzem avera, especially tshuva me'ava, means the etzem thing I did wrong turns against me. I that's not what I want, b'chlal. Mashenkin again, and whatever it is going to be chitzonis. But he says of it, so just like you have madrega shayna shal tainu, or batzaru yisach chatoz v'ayna, v'im ruyim heim neskar achekach, hine yitoaru mechetom v'yelchu lemnucha. So the person himself, if mikoyach this tara, this what's left, the person has a personality that's left for toiv, he gets that. V'im lo yonshad avdam. There's Rav Utna once said, and maybe it's not his, maybe it's earlier, but I remember hearing it from him. On the Gemara it says by Lazar ben Dodaya. It says Elazar ben Dodaya was bought on all of the Zionists in the world, and then this one particular Zayna was Maxim for tshuva, and he sat down and started crying until he died. So why did he die? What happened there that he died? So witness said, and the mashal is my mashal, but it's what he said really. Imagine somebody, Rechmanetzan, has a cancer. And a cancer you know, is very, very, it's very bad for your health. It takes away from the rest of the goof, and it's destructive. So you eradicate the cancer and you cure the person. Imagine there was a boy in our yeshiva whose mother was nifta a few years ago with this problem. She had a growth in her heart that had gotten so strong, big, whatever it was, that it had eaten away part of the heart and it became the wall of the heart. So there was no way of taking out the growth without killing the person, machmasi, destroying the heart. The chiyus of the person became totally in the cancer and the growth. So there was no way out. I mean, it was gone. Let's take a different problem, a contemporary problem. People, drugs kill people. That you see, you take drugs, you kill people. When you try to wean a person off a drug, he goes through a very difficult period getting very, very sick, because the drug had become part of what he needs to live on. I was once in a hospital in an emergency room where they had two or three people detoxing, and it was extremely painful to see, because they were very, very sick. So you have a metzias of chet, which lands in a makom chiyus of a person, and it becomes a chiyus. So damn it if you do, damn it if you don't. Elizabeth Nodaya was he had become so caught up in aver, that became the tainug that fueled his life. That became his metzias. So any type of breaking away from it killed him. Rafuta's words were, they became his koyach haratzon, and therefore, if you take away a person's ratzon, he no longer lives. He has nothing to live for. He couldn't wean it off. So the Ramchal says, ubitzar ahu yisachaytus avayinam vimruyim l'schar achakach. If there's what's left over afterwards, if the chet was only on the periphery, and there's what to be afterwards, then they get schar. Yitar mechad yochem nucha vimlo yonshan avdom. In Klal Yisrael, this happens very, very rarely. So the Ramchal is answering with this, the Mishnah. It says, Klal Yisrael Yishem Chayv Olam Haba. Chutz from, you know, a few guys. So he sort of asks, so the implied kasha here is that Umas Olam, Chassid Umas Olam, Hav Olam Haba. And Rishayim don't. So by us also, normal people have, but there are certain people that don't have. Now, it's Kol Yisrael Chayv Olam Haba doesn't mean that everyone gets in. We have a few people that don't get in. Umas Olam, good people get in. Chassidim doesn't mean people that are, you know, chad bedoris. It means anyone's good, anyone's a tzaddik. So where's the difference in the two? That's his. So Ramchal is answering it in this one sentence, that in Klal Yisrael there's a healthy tissue no matter what, almost no matter what, and therefore you can be soivul yisurim and have something left over to build on. That can be part of the person. Masha ein kein in Umas Olam, it's not like that. So if there's no hard core of tissue there waiting to be, there's no waiting, it's no be'etzem toiv unless it's destroyed. So Umas Olam have to create some substance that will stay there even after you get through the purifying process. Masha ein kein by Umas Olam, it's the other way around. By Yisrael, it's there's a be'etzem healthy tissue. You can destroy that tissue. So those in Yonim that there's no chelek olam haba means that it sat on the mokum chiyus of olam haba, and there's nothing to do about it. Lazim d'daya, it sat on the mokum chiyus of olam hazeh, but for olam haba, arayis is not something that's be'etzem to Yisrael, and the melech can come off. let's give that's let's take a look inside the Caliph back again to where we are. He says a little bit of a different knach, and Tyrus Aneshama, he oyal de Gehenim, this is the first piece, oyal de Tshuva. So Tyrus Aneshama can be through Gehenim or through Tshuva. And we spoke before about the musig of either Tshuva Gehenim through terms of Tsar. There's the Tsar in Gehenim, which is whatever type of Tsar it is, and there is a Tshuva, which is Charata, which is a Tsar Nafshi of a person. Now, he gives a little bit of a different knach over here, a deeper knach in Gehenim. Vehu, ki kol zona osu lezinei. Zona osu lezinei means every min goes to its min. Venimtza, she tzricha neshomu leredes bi Gehenim, at shazuma tipor meresiv b'shrasha, oi she tala b'seida tshuva b'sedavik b'shrasha. So, he says the following havchana. We spoke about the tshuva in terms of a tsar. He says it in a different oifen, and let's understand what he says. If somebody is drowning in a pit, there's a pit, and somebody's drowning in the water or the muck or whatever it is, I have two ways of dealing with it. Let's analyze the problem. We'll do it with a business model. The problem is that he and the water are in the same level, and that's why he's drowning. I can pump the water out, and then the person is there, or I can lift the person up above the water, and then the water is gone. I don't know if you've heard the famous riddle with the case of Mishnah about Tyra, whether you leave the mikveh, go to mikveh. You know, I'm not familiar. If you're not familiar, you'll tell me. My Shver's grandfather was Rebbe Lebaruch Kamai, Rebbe Lezudel's grandfather. He was a Goyen Olam, and he was known. One of the things that he was known for was he had these brilliant shilas that he asked his children. He was a Goyen of the old type, before Reb Chaim spoiled the old Goyenim. He was of that type. So he asked the following Shaila once. It says that there's a Kesef Mishnah that says that the Tahara of a Tomei is when you leave the mikveh, when you go out of the mikveh. There's a Mishnah that says that if you have two people went down in a mikveh that's mechuvin in memsah, so if the first one kept his foot inside it, so we say gurasik and the water gurachis and the water goes down, and bemelas mechuber, and so if the first one submerged before the other one took his foot out, then it's good. So yes, if the tire is when you leave the mikveh, so you know, you could be sitting in the mikveh 15 minutes and then you go out. That's the kasha de Valdez. So his answer was, in typical cryptic fashion, is was art mir zu erge tarois von der mikveh zu der mikveh geht tarois von ihm. In other words, he's leaving the mikveh when the guy pulls his foot out. Leaving the mikveh doesn't mean when you walk up the steps. It means when you're not in the mikveh. I mean, the nafkamina between the two, I think, is if you touch a sheretz on the bottom or something. There's some sort of nafkamina in that case, the Mishnah. But upon him, so getting out of a place where you're submerged in something bad, you can do it this way, you can do it this way. Let's take another example closer home. Certain times you can... If you want to wean away somebody from something, you have a kid is doing X, Y, or Z, so you can say it's a terrible thing you're doing, and it's bad, and I know you could do such a thing, or you could say, you know, you're grown already, you're bar mitzvah already, you're yeshiva bach already, it's past nishvadir. And you'll see a lot of times a bar mitzvah boy changes a lot, and a lot of physical changes, but a lot of times it's just his perception of himself as an adult. My father, Chayim Vracha, was a Slabotka, and most of the Musa that we got was in line spasnished. There's not even a word in English for that. We don't have it like that. But that was the signa in spasnished. So a person this person separates. The problem of chet is the same. The problem of chet is that it grabs onto the person. So, and it clings to him and it becomes part of the person. That's always the problem of it. So I can do it by bringing the person environment where the chet belongs there. And that's Gehenem. So the chet becomes shayach to the olam of tumah, and it goes off me. Or if a person does tshuva, he's lifting himself up, and therefore it separates away because he's become more ruchni and closer to Shparuchu. And this chet has no makom and there's no personality. So you have two eifanim. And I think that's what he means over here. He says that the difference between tshuva and yesurim is yesurim are things that are they strip away the chet. They work directly on the chet because everything goes to its min and the chet becomes part of Gehenim and it leaves your personality, or you miss Allah Mala and you leave the chet behind, and that's the world of tshuva. So there's a distinct advantage in tshuva because the person, and this is obviously talking about again tshuva me'ava, where the person is bringing himself closer to Baruch Hu. So whether the explanation we said before or the Adi B'Amarim, the way he says the Adi B'Amarim, it both of them have a distinct mila in olam hatshuva over olam of yisurim. Besides the fact that it's as difficult as Elul's are and says Mechuv of Ol Slichas, still much better than Gehenim. But both of them have a pa'ula that go to the heart of the person. The person wanted to become a ruchnistic person, so he's Mis'ala Mis'dabik. That's one piece of it. And the second part of it is that the person is, or the way he says it, or the way we said it, it's a type of tsar or yisurim that comes mitzad the pnimis inyan. It's not I'm associating this avera with this type of pain. It's be'etzem I be'etzem stop wanting this because it just like the erevah that becomes moss on the person, and the person for life himself can't see what he saw in this. There's an old saying. Don't be mispalled too hard for something because HaKadosh Baruch Hu may end up giving it to you. So, you know, when a person actions and he wants something dafka, he sometimes comes to regret it bitterly. When a person is mischarit from something, it's a much more pneumistic of pushing away. But actually, the way we said it, the way he said it, it's the same idea. Okay, any questions, any points?
What's the between
So there's no Gehenna for either of the two, but there's no Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Olam Haba means there's some pnimiyistik inyan that be'etzem we're from there. We can lose it, and we can be blocked from going in and need Gehenna to get there. But mitzara or pnimis mitzias, we're shayach to it, and it's much deeper than just let's people think of it as it's unfair. How can you believe that it's unfair and so on and so forth? Okay. A guy who has no ma'aser tovim, be'etzem has no desire to be an olam haba. Olam is a world of ruchnius, and if you don't have an affinity for it doesn't mean anything to you. It's like telling somebody that if you work very, very hard, you'll be able to go to this yeshiva, which is super. If I don't have an interest in going to the yeshiva, it's not a reward. You know, you need to have a zika to want to live in a world of olam haba. I think I told you, I always tell the yeshiva, we're mespalei rachamim achlein yom shekula shabbos unuchay alamim. If a 3-day yontif drives you crazy, so what are you wishing for? An eternal yontif. It's without cholent over there. You know, there's it's only learning, and so on. A person needs to have that that sense, that zika to be shaykh to that world. So Klal Yisrael are ruchnistic beings. We can lose it. We can destroy that zika, chas v'shalom. But we have it. Be'etzim, we're shaykh to that. Umasoilim, unless they develop the taste, there's no point in it. If you reward somebody by taking them to this fantastic symphony, if you don't care for it, it's an upkomenish. It's not a pras, not a prize for me. I want to tell you something I was oimed on. Just sometimes in life, we're talking about Gan Eden, what exists here, doesn't exist here, and you know, so we gave the Hezman, we explained what we said over here. I was oimed on some phenomenal Indian. My mother is she's Meir Vesem, she's quite an old person, and the last few years she's developed somewhat dementia. She's still fairly, you can talk to her, you know, about anything that's here and now. You can talk to her reasonably coherently. It's fine. She recognizes everybody in Pichon's a long time and so on. But you know, there's creeping in all sorts of the bigger picture she doesn't have, and you know, whatever. So and one of the things is occasionally she imagines things, and there was a tkufa. Like she's in a nursing home. She had been physically sick. She had been a little run down, and then she fainted or something. Took her to the hospital. I think that sort of created some sort of. And then there was a tkufa in the nursing home when she was paranoid, and she really went berserk. And you know, she had gone through the war, and it's hard to tell what's when. But she pushed it. She was dead serious that her roommate is spying on her. That they're announcing all her personal information on all the TVs. That she tried to run away. Incredible difficult period. Baruch Hashem, they had medication and it helped. It's amazing. They actually can you know, in a few weeks on antipsychotics, and she was back to normal. Baruch Hashem, thank God, she's very happy. So, but I was thinking to myself, she was frightened. Her eyes. I mean, you know, she was living that reality. It wasn't. We were both in the same physical space and were two separate worlds. She was living in Gehenna. I mean, there were people chasing her. There were people spying on her. She didn't eat for 2 days because she wanted to get out of the place. She stood by the window trying to get out, and it was real. Her eyes were terrified, and I was saying to myself, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a button, there's a Gehenna button, there's a reset button that puts in different reality. It's amazing, you know. That's the world she was living in. And was as real to her as, you know, one of the worst things you do is argue with these people that's not real, because it's very real. It's as real to them as anything else is to us. And we have a hard time to, you know, occupying the same physical reality and believing that two people have two vastly different experiences over here. It's you know, I don't know, it was something just on a, sometimes you live through something and it makes you, it gives you another awareness that you can have two concurrent realities in the same physical space, and who's to say whose reality is more? You know, it was, you know, I mean, her look in her eyes were terrified. She was scared out of her wits, and she was ois mensch, and that was her reality. It's amazing, you know. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to build, you know, a whole new world. It's in the world. It's just you occupy a different sense of it. Any question? Anything else? Yeah.
The nafkamina between a yid and a goy is necessarily something that's expressed, or it could even be something that if you take a fraya yid and a fraya goy, you won't be able to tell a nafkamina, but it's like something that's not expressed by the neshama?
It's in potential. In other words, it's what the we believe that a yid has a be'etzim shaykhus to it. So just like Lamarshal, imagine two people that have never been exposed to music. One person, you can't tell which one has an affinity for music or not. But if you start teaching them and you start introducing them to music, one thinks it's a big bore and one begins to pick up and something comes out in him. The Klal Yisrael has potential. A potential, they once asked, it's amazing, Lubavitcher Rebbe had in his letters, amazingly sharp and to the point. And someone wrote him asking him, who's better, a Yisrael Russia or an Akum Chassid? And he answered, it depends if you're talking b'koyach or b'poyel. In other words, b'asher hu sham, being Yisrael is not an advantage, and if you did mitzvahs, you're in a better place than that. Mitzad the potential, the reason why we reach out to Yidden, besides the fact that it's our brother, that we believe in potential, it's there. So it's also like you have two Talmidim. One behaves well and sits in class and does good stuff, and the other one is a Vildachaya. So he asks, who's a better student? Well, this one is getting 90s, and this one is getting 40s, so it's no match. But the guy who happens to get 40 is also brilliant. So you put a lot of koiches in, because you say, once he gets into it, he's going to be amazing. So a Klai Yisrael has a potential for Ruchnis that Umsalm do not have. They may abuse it, they may never use it. That's already befoil. But Bekoach, it's better. But the answer is very good. You know, he said, it depends if he asks him Bekoach or Befoil. No, that's the answer.
Is there any truth to the saying, attributed to Descartes, if I think, therefore I am?
I don't know the context he said it, but it's certainly, if the person is not aware, then existence to himself is meaningless. If thinking in the sense of having consciousness, being aware, and being typhus yourself, you know, a shaita is in a margish. There's no, just like the muscle of an animal, it's not embarrassing for an animal to walk around naked, because that's what an animal is. For a person, it's embarrassing because he's aware of it, you know. So being aware of something is the metzius. Okay, good. Let's say to take care.